Tonight I'd like to invite you over to the book of 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12. 2 Peter, chapter 1, verse 12 reads this way. It says, "Wherefore, I will not be negligent to put you always in remembrance of these things, though you know them, and be established in the present truth." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before your throne this evening, thanking you, Lord, for the privilege of gathering together in your house as your people. Lord, we ask that you would bless and guide the service with your Holy Spirit, that you might be exalted and lifted up in our hearts and in our minds and in our lives, that you would be glorified, Lord, and our hearts drawn closer to you and to one another. And Lord, that we might be the light that, again, Lord, that, and the witness that you've called us to be of your grace. And we'll praise and thank you, for we ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight, the title of the message is Established in the Present Truth. Established in the Present Truth. And that's what we're looking at here, the truth of God's Word. And as you study the Word of God, you will find out that God has called us to be established and to be solidified on the rock, that we would not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine, that we would not be disturbed by the things of this world or the devil himself or even our own flesh. God wants us to be established and rooted and built up in Him, right? You're familiar with those terms in the Word of God. And so when we think about being established tonight, just for illustration's sake, we want to consider a fruit tree because He wants us to bear fruit. And so we don't want to take that tree and plant it and water it and then all of a sudden a month from now dig it up and move it somewhere else and then dig it up a month from that time and plant it somewhere else. It would kill it. It would not allow it to bear fruit. The same is true in our lives. If we're not rooted in the truth and established, and by the way, God is the one that does that work, and we're going to see really three important truths that we need to know if we are to be established in the truth. And we're talking about our salvation and the Word of God. So the first thought is, and we may not get through all three of these tonight, but if not, we'll pick up on it next Wednesday. But here are the three truths that are important for us to understand and to know. We have obtained like precious faith, and we'll talk about that here in just a moment that Peter's talking about here. And then secondly, we need to know how grace and peace are multiplied. That's important to understand how they are multiplied. Then thirdly, how fruitfulness happens in the life of the believer. How fruitfulness happens in the life of the believer. So I want you to notice verse 1 here, and we want to back up there. And notice what it says here. Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. So notice that we have obtained like precious faith with Peter and all the other saints that have gone on before. And again, that word obtain is not the same as attain. If you've attained something, you have done something to achieve that attainment. But if you've obtained something, it's been given. So that's something that's different. That is a liberating truth that sets us free. It frees us from us having to do the work and us calling upon the Lord, listen, to reveal to us that we've already obtained it. Again, it's like having something that's of great value and either forgetting about it or not realizing that we have it in our possession already. We don't have to ask God to give us the faith. He's already done that. When we got saved, when we put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, we have been the recipients of the faith and grace of God, have we not? Amen. You are not going to be any more of a child of God than you were the first day you got saved. Now you can experience more about the Lord and you can understand more of the liberty and the freedom that He's given to us. And that is a liberating truth and we can grow in the grace for certain. But you are not going to be any more the child of God than you were the first day you got saved. Isn't that good? And you are dearly beloved of the Lord. And God wants us to understand that He's the one that leads us still today and every day of our life into the green pastures that liberate us and that we can feed upon and be well nourished and
established, right? So that we are rooted in Him. And that's what He wants us to do. So let's look at this vehicle, if you will, in verse 1. So notice we've obtained like precious faith. And let's notice this vehicle that brings us into this established relationship. Verse 1 again says, Simon Peter, a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith. And with us, with Peter, now here's the vehicle, through the righteousness of your name? God. Amen? Through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Through their righteousness, that is the vehicle that gets us there. Listen, we have an innate nature that is bent towards establishing our own righteousness. It is hard for the natural man, the natural mankind spirit, to receive a gift. Tell me this is not true. If I was speaking to a lost group of people, and I said, now, in order to go to heaven, what's going to connect better? Tell me. In order to go to heaven, here's what you have to do, and here's what you have to not do. They're going to like that. The natural man likes that. But now if I say, oh, but listen, you don't have to do anything, that's where the question mark pops up. What? What? It's a gift. Huh? Because if you ask the average lost person, what do you have to do to go to heaven? They're going to name something, aren't they? Yet you shouldn't do this, and you should do this, and you shouldn't do that. And it's all based upon our righteousness. Listen, it's not our righteousness. The vehicle that gets us there is through, in verse 1, the righteousness of God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. That is a liberating truth that will enable our lives to be established and unmovable in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, this is the faith part. Ready? Question tonight. What work is it that is taking you to heaven? Is it yours? Or is it the Lord's? Okay. And that's because of His righteousness. All right. Now listen, don't lose me. Your power and your strength and the obtaining of the like precious faith, is it in you and your righteousness or in God's? Is it in your work or in God's work? If you think you have to establish your own righteousness, you misunderstand the Word of God. And you can be a child of God, but you're going to be miserable. And I'm going to tell you, listen, I think every child of God experiences the battle of trying to establish our own righteousness instead of trusting in what God's already given to us. I mean, when Peter said, Lord, listen, I'm convinced, there's no doubt in my mind, Peter loved the Lord. When he said, Lord, though all these forsake you, not me. What was he saying? I've got this, Lord. Oh, no, he didn't. No more than you and I do. So it's either in the Lord Jesus Christ or we're going to miss him. We're still a saved child of God, but we will not be able to bear the fruit and we will not enjoy the experience of God working that through us to where we are in awe of what he's doing and wanting to do in our life, where we want to ask him to continually to do that again and over in our lives. So the first truth that we need to understand is that we've obtained like precious faith, and the vehicle that empowers that faith is realizing that we have been brought into that relationship through not our righteousness, but the righteousness of God and also the Lord Jesus Christ because of the work that he did on the cross. So this is important. Now we want to look at how is grace and peace multiplied in your life and mine. Would you like to know that tonight? Or be reminded of it? You may already know it. But would you like to be reminded of how God's grace and peace are multiplied? All right, look at verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. So if God says something through Peter, through the Holy Spirit, does he mean it? Does he mean it? So God does not want the believer to not have the grace of God. And to not have the peace of God, listen, multiplied. When you multiply something, does that mean more than the number you started with? That's important. So you have peace now. God wants, you have peace. Here's your peace, ready? You have a home in heaven because of the grace of God. Does that give you peace? God wants to multiply that. Let that soak in. It just starts there. Is that amazing? It just starts there. God wants to multiply that in your life and in my life. We will never manufacture that because it's God's peace. And remember what Jesus said? My peace I give unto you. And he qualified that by saying, not the peace of the world, because that's different, but my peace. Tell me, do you know what's different about God's peace and the world's peace? The world's peace changes. God's peace is always there. Isn't that something? All right. So verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you. And here's the vehicle again. We've got to get into this vehicle because this vehicle takes us to that destination and no other vehicle will do it. Verse 2, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ our Lord. Isn't that amazing? They're both there again. That vehicle is still there. So he's never said, okay, you're on your own. You're saved. Now you better roll up your sleeve and you better just get it done, right? It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. So what is this knowledge specifically? Because this is important. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus Christ. What is this knowledge specifically? Well, let's look at verse 3 because he spells it out. See, the Lord is so good and so kind and so merciful. He lays it all out right before us if we'll receive it and ask God to help us to receive it. Because do you remember when they fed the multitudes, the Lord multiplied the bread? All right. And do you remember when they were traveling with the Lord and the Lord said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And then the disciples said, it's because we forgot to bring bread. Do you remember that? And the Lord said, why do you reason among yourselves? I'm talking about the hypocrisy of the Pharisees. You're talking about the bread. Don't you remember how when the multitudes were gathered on two occasions, the bread was multiplied? See, listen, it was right there in front of them. I'm okay with that because I do the same thing. Amen. And God wants us to get it. He doesn't want us to miss out. God does not withhold any good thing. Do you believe that? So the problem is here and here. And all we have to do to correct the head problem, the understanding, and the heart problem is to say, God, I need you to open up the Word of God to me. And he will do it. Lord, I need understanding. I don't want to, let me bring you back to Thomas. And if you'll go back to that account, you'll find out that the Lord appeared to Peter and to the other disciples. And the Lord showed them his hands and his side. And so they told Thomas, we've seen the Lord. Now that's all we get on that, but I'm going to tell you, I think they said, and you know what? We were afraid, and then he showed us his hands and his side. And so Thomas says, I want to see that too. That's what he was saying. Question, did God give him what he needed? He did, didn't he? And what did he say? My Lord and my God. Do you think that was a good moment for Thomas? Do you know God wants to bring us right there too? Do you know that God wants to take us to that place in our hearts and in our minds and in our understanding concerning our relationship with our Savior? That is the awing part that God wants to bring into the life of every believer. So let's look at this very quickly, and we might finish up here. So the knowledge specifically, the first thought we're going to look at is what his divine power has done for us and is doing for us. It's not that he's going to do it. It's already happened. We just have to understand it. Verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things. He's not going to do it. He's already done it. Amen. So here's the question. Are you going to Ask God to give you the faith to believe. It's already been done. You don't have to have a special fasting session. There's nothing wrong with that. If you want to seek the Lord in fasting, that's fine. But don't ask him for something he's already given to you. Ask him to help you understand it and receive it. It is done. Question, when a lost person is going to trust the Lord Jesus Christ, does he thank the Lord that he's going to die for him? Or does he thank him that he has died for him? It's the same way in all of the promises of God. Has he not already given them in his word? So the problem is you and I understanding that by faith and to walk in that truth. Ready? Even when we don't feel like it, we still, oh God, I'm not going to walk by feeling. I'm going to walk by faith. In what? In the word of God and in your promise. Do you see the difference? It baffles me when I talk to people and we talk about salvation what makes you think you're going to get there? I'm not holier than thou, and I might have something they don't have, and that's a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ by the grace of God. But when I ask them, what makes you say that? I'm wanting to find out what they're rooted, where their faith is at, what their faith is in. Because if it's not in the right place, I can direct them toward the Lord. Does that make sense? Okay. What is your faith in? I get this answer. I have faith in my faith. What was that? We can do that all day long. We're not going anywhere with that. Certainly not into the grace of God. So what is the object of our faith? Well, for salvation, because Christ has died for us, it's in the Lord Jesus Christ. And for the child of God to walk in the promises of God, we put our faith in what God has already given. Not what he's going to. Let's look at verse 3 again. According as his divine power hath given unto us 25%. 25% of the promises of the things? 50%? No. He's given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him. There's that vehicle again. And by the way, so when we look at this, when we see this here, this is what his divine power has already done for us. I think people think they've got it backwards. They think they have to do something. No, listen, they just need to understand the word of God, just like we had to understand that salvation was by the grace of God, and the light bulb came on, and then we called upon the Lord, and the Lord saved us. Isn't that something? Well, here's the thing. In that salvation, you received the whole thing. God didn't hold out one thing. He that freely gave us his son, will he not also give us all good things? And he's done it. So, verse 3, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life. Now, wait a minute. Peter's talking to believers, is he not? So what? I thought they already had life. It's talking about the life in Christ. Do you see the difference? You can have eternal life and not have the life of and not walk in the life of Christ that brings the peace of God. God wants you to walk in his life. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life, his life, and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue. So this is what God's divine power has already done for you and me. Don't think you're taking the bread test, all right? Like the disciples, we forgot the bread. He's not talking about that. He's wanting us to understand tonight that we have so much. Listen, if we could just soak that in, it's ours already. And I, by faith, I'm going to walk in that truth. It's what the Word of God has told me. And if we will move out by faith in that, we will experience God in a awing way that will draw our hearts closer to him. All right? So his divine power has done this. Let me just share this. In verse 4, we see his great and precious promise given to us. Look at verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding. You know what exceeding is? It's overflowing. It's more than, you know what I'm saying, we can take. Exceeding great and precious promises, that by these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Now, I'm going to stop right there for tonight. And I would encourage you to go back through 2 Peter chapter 1 and meditate on that and ask God to speak to you through that. And we'll finish it up next Wednesday. All right? Next Wednesday evening. Let's go ahead and pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for your word, the understanding that it brings into our relationship with you and with one another, and Lord, with your grace that you want to multiply in our lives. I pray, Lord, that you bless each one, and Lord, the membership and all that come to Northwood Baptist Church and all your churches, Lord, that you might illuminate our understanding, that we might have the liberty that you've given to us to walk in your grace. Bless the rest of the evening as we break off for prayer, and we'll give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.